In our text today, Luke chapter 22, the Lord is speaking to Peter about his betrayal and the disciples as well. And Peter made it very clear that in his mind that he was never going to deny the Lord. He made it very clear that he was ready even to die in his desire to be faithful to the Lord. And yet the Lord tells him couple serious things. He says, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And of course, he tells him that before the cock crows twice, that he was going to deny him three times. And we have here a picture of a very real part of life. The battle of life, the weakness of many in life, and the strategy and the plan of strength in life. I think if we would say anything about the day in which we live, we would have to say that many believers are weak. And sad to say, we'd have to say we live in a day in which not only are believers weak, but a day in which many men are weak. And the strength of the church is found in the believers being strong in their life. Men being strong. Young people being strong. Ladies being strong. As Peter was told about his future, he was unaware of many of the forces that were involved around the death of Christ, the spiritual forces at work. And you know, there are spiritual forces today that are at work today. You know, a lot of people don't really understand spiritual battles and difficulties. Here in this passage of Scripture, we're introduced to one of the forces of the world, and that's Satan. And and the Lord tells Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat. Well, that's, it's really amazing. I remember when my mother used to sift the flour, you know, and I don't know why she did it, you know, but she did it. You know, she'd take the flour and those little sifters. You know, ours never worked right. You know, the spring on those things, they never were any good, you know, and so you had to move this handle back and forth and you sift the flour, you know, and you know, I always wonder, what's the difference, you know? I mean, it looks fine to me. Why do you have to sift it, you know? But, you know, certainly when you talk about sifting, it's talking about, just breaking you down to the smallest particles. And the Lord introduces Peter to this terrible principle, the real principle that Satan is all about, sifting and opposing the people of God and the things of God. Know ye not that your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour? Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So we have Satan. He has a plan. He has a plan to resist. You know what? He has God's plan to resist. We read in the Bible in Acts chapter 13, Paul starts witnessing this man, and guess what happens? Satan does what he can to keep this man from getting saved. There's an opposition. Peter says, I tell you, he says, Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, you die, I'll go with you to the grave. I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. I'll never, never deny you. Well, we are introduced to the second ingredient of weakness, and that's man's flesh. In the garden there, as they were praying, Matthew, we have a little bit different wording. He finds the disciples sleeping. Every time the Lord goes to pray, comes back, the disciples are sleeping. What does he say? He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the second ingredient of weakness is the flesh. Man's flesh is weak. Just plain old weak. Bible says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Why? Because the flesh is weak. There is no strength in our flesh. There is no strength in the human nature to stand spiritually for God. Oh, we'd like to think so. Some of you have read the great missionary, James Frazier, who went to the Lishu Mountains of southwest China. He was a great Christian in Great Britain. And he went to the mission field, and all of a sudden he found out that he wasn't a very strong Christian at all. And he got discouraged, and he got defeated, and he depressed, and he was at the end of his ropes. He was weak. He was weak. Now, I think that we need to realize that I'm sure Peter did better than any one of us would have done on that day. But the flesh is weak. And so we have the second ingredient of weakness is the flesh. Man's own strength is incapable of of serving God and doing God's will and resisting temptation. Man's flesh is unable. And then we have the other ingredients of weakness. Romans chapter 6 tells us, not only is man weak, but sin is strong. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Sin is strong. You know what? Sin is stronger than anyone in this room. Sin will make a piece of bread out of the strongest man. Sin is a powerful force. One time a man described life. He says, life is like walking down a long corridor. And on that corridor, there's many doors. And many people go into those unknown, go through those unknown doors and never return again. Why? Because sin is strong. And people go through those doors of temptation, those doors of sin, and never to be seen again. I imagine it as a door that you open and there's a bottomless dark abyss on the other side. Sin is strong. Sin is stronger than any person. No one can win the battle against sin without Jesus Christ. No one can win the battle against sin without Jesus Christ. The weakness of the believer. And Peter was a picture of the weakness of the believer. He never intended to deny the Lord. He never intended to curse his name. He never intended to deny him, but he did. But the Lord says something that's very important. He says a number of different things. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, the same situation. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41. He said to the disciples, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What did he say to the disciples? He said, you know, you are weak in yourself. He said, but you know, there is a means of strength. And in this case, he said there was strength in prayer. You know, very simply, prayerlessness brings weakness. Prayerlessness brings weakness. I doubt that there would be anybody in this room who would contradict that statement. The person who falls victim to the deception of Satan, to the onslaughts of the world, to the weakness of his flesh, to the power of sin, there's always something that always goes with it. Prayerlessness. And you know, we all like to think we pray a lot. But you know what? I think every one of us ought to be honest enough and just say, let's take a timer out and let's really time whether we're really praying or not, whether we think we're praying and we aren't, or whatever, whether our prayers are wrong. Let's just take a timer out and see how long we really pray. The survey is that the average born-again Christian prays at the most 2 minutes a day. Watch and pray. Now here's for a person who had every intention to do right. And because he didn't pray, he failed. He denied the Lord. The disciples were confronted with a young man who was influenced by demons. And the demons were seeking to destroy this life. And the disciples were unable to help this individual. And of course, the Lord was able to help him. And the Lord, the disciples came to the Lord and says, "How come we couldn't do anything about this problem? How come we couldn't see this person delivered from this power of Satan?" And the Lord simply said, "This kind can come forth, but by nothing." But by prayer and fasting. This kind can come out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I was just reading one of the books. There are some books I read part of books, but I'm just reading the introduction to David's Cloud, wonderful book called Dressing for the Lord. And in the beginning of the book, he dedicated this book to his grandmother. And he said in the preface of his book, "My grandmother, the first person I ever met that practiced fasting and praying, and talked about her prayer list and how God miraculously answered her prayers." Well, we've seen kind of an opposite here. We've seen prayerlessness means weakness. On the other hand, we see prayer is associated with strength. Very simple truth, isn't it? Whether we're an adult, whether we're a young person, we would be honest. Let's just take an honest answer before the Lord. Say, okay, what about our prayer life? What about our prayer life? You know, just spot somebody. You know, all you have to do is kind of look in their eyes. That's about all it takes. Spot somebody and look at them. And you can see that they're obviously spiritually doing poorly. And I would guarantee if you went up to them and you ask them, how's their prayer life? They would say, well, next to nothing. Next to nothing. Strength in prayer. Psalm number 19. Where do we find strength? We find strength in God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119, we're not turning there right now, we're in Psalm 19, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. He was a man memorizing and meditating on God's word. And what did he find? Strength. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. That's talking about the Bible. The converting the soul. I like that phrase. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know, we all need to be converted. Every saved person needs to be converted. And what kind of conversion is it talking about? It's talking about conversion from wrong thinking and wrong acting and wrong living to right thinking and right acting and right I forgot what all of I said, but doing right. You know how that takes place? The Bible. You know, when you get saved, that's just the start. When you get saved, that's just the start. You get you get converted. You get regenerated. You get new life. But you know what? Your mind is still full of all the information that was put on it for all those years previous. And you still have a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of wrong reasoning. And you know what? All of that has to be converted. How's it converted? Well, you know what? This year we bought a converter. Yeah, we bought a converter. We bought a tool that it needed three-phase power. And so we had to buy a converter. We had to buy this machine that took one-phase electrical power and converted it into three-phase electrical power. It had to be changed from one-phase to three-phase. You know, and every believer needs to be converted from wrong thinking, wrong values, wrong philosophies, and they need to have them converted into right thinking and right philosophies and right insights. And there's only one place that that can take place. That's the Bible. You know, the scientists tell us that the human brain is the biggest computer in the whole world. And even though we can't retrieve everything that's on that computer, it's all there. Everything we ever saw, anything we ever did, anything that we ever heard, everything is recorded up there. Everything. Every experience of life. It's all recorded up there. And you know, That produces our thought process. That produces our reasoning process. That produces our moral values. That produces our reasoning. Everything we put up there. Now, what does that tell you? That tells me that I got a big job yet. That tells me that every person, when they get saved, they have a real big job. At taking all those experiences of life and all that stuff that was in their life before they were saved and sometimes after they're saved, and to get all that wrong thinking replaced with right thinking. You know what? That sounds to me like work. And you know what? I'm not against devotional books, folks. I'm not against devotional books. Because I think there's great blessing in them. But I tell you what, devotional books don't do a whole lot to change the thinking. They might give encouragement for the day. And they might give you some good thoughts to help you on that day. But they don't do much in that big, big job of changing all that false thinking and false information that got put up there. You know what? We need God's Word. We need to saturate our mind with God's Word. You know, what do they say? You know, these are startling facts. They say that the average teenager in America, by the time the person in America, by the time they're 18, they have seen 90,000 immoral acts on TV. 90,000. You know what? A little dab of the Bible here and there isn't going to do much to get rid of all that trash. Not going to do much. You know, it sounds to me like hard work, doesn't it? Sounds to me like a lot of hard work. Now, what's our subject today? Our subject is, why are so many believers weak? Why are so many believers weak? Someone was telling me, and we're having this little discussion, and they were talking about, you know, the 20-minute sermons in the mega churches. And you know, used to be people went to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And back in Paul's day, he preached till midnight. But you know, today, in the mega churches, you get 20-minute sermons. They do it once a week. You know, and by the time you take the introduction away and the illustrations away and the closing away, people probably get maybe 1 or 2 minutes of Bible teaching. You know, multiply that by 50, and most of them don't go to every church every week, do they? So at the most, they have less than 2 hours of Bible instruction a year. Why are Christians weak today? Why are Christians weak today? You ask any, go to any person that's not doing well spiritually, and all you have to do is ask them how much time they spent in God's Word that day. Or how much time they regularly spend really in God's Word. I don't mean talking about just doing it like a ritual, but really. You know what they're going to tell you? They're going to say very little. Very little. You know why young people in America are so messed up spiritually? I'm talking about Christian kids, because for most of them, they don't crack that Bible between Sunday and Sunday. They never crack that Bible. They could lose it at church and never know it was gone. What does the Bible say? John chapter 6 and verse 63. It says this. Jesus is explaining people's negative response to his preaching. And to the Bible. And it says, he says this. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, there's something that is uniquely different about the Bible. What is uniquely different about the Bible? The Bible is God's living word. The Bible is God's living word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says that the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick is life-giving. The word powerful speaks of the strength that is given in God's word. The word of God is quick and powerful. God's word is living. You know, in life today, in the battle of life against sin, against Satan, against the world, again, that's involved the weakness of our flesh. What's the key? The Word of God. Turn with me to Proverbs 2 and look at the strength of God's Word. Look at the person who really studies God's Word, meditates on it, desires to learn it, studies it, prays over it, hungers for it. Notice what it says, Proverbs 2, verse 1. We'll read a couple verses here. Proverbs chapter number 2. Great book in the Bible. And this passage of Scripture is basically telling us how to study the Bible. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, that means memorize them, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, you're anxious to hear it, and apply thy heart to understanding. I need to learn this. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, praise about it, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, seeks God to help him understand his word. If you seek her as silver, most important thing you could ever do, and searches for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Verse 10, when wisdom enters into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man who speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in ways of darkness. To deliver thee, verse 16, from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her house inclineth to death, her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of the take hold of the paths of life. Talking about strength. What can be stronger than wisdom? What can be stronger than discernment? The ability to tell between right and wrong. Isn't that the problem today? Weakness. Weakness is the inability to determine what is right and what is wrong. Weakness is not being able to tell what is right and wrong. Weakness is the inability to wrestle with life and say to the kids, you know what? No, you're not going there. No, you're not reading that. No, you're not listening to that. No, that's wrong. That's weakness, not being able to tell a child what is right and wrong. But strength comes from God's Word. The ability to perceive what is right and wrong. The ability to discern. The ability to have the fear of the Lord and stand for something. Where does it come from? The Bible tells us very simply, it comes from the Word of God. The Word of God rightly studied, the Word of God rightly hungered after, the Word of God rightly received. You know, we live in a day in which the Bible is a book on the shelf. You know, you think of the days of the Reformation. I remember reading about Martin Luther. He went to seminary. And he went to the library of this seminary. And he saw a book on the shelf. It was dusty. It hadn't been checked out in... he opened up, hadn't been checked out in 5 years. And it was the only one of its kind in the library. He went to this book and he looked at it and he said, "The Bible? Is that the Bible?" And his friend says, "Yeah, that's the Bible." He says, "The Bible." And as I said, dust had collected on it. Hadn't been checked out in 5 years. Well, we live in a day in which the Bible's only getting, almost becoming like that, isn't it? I know, I think you could be honest that there are some people that if they were honest, they'd have to say that their Bible has almost been like it's on the shelf collecting dust for a long time. Strength in God's Word. Strength in prayer. Ephesians chapter 3. We'll actually read a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It's talking about the strength of the Holy Spirit, the strength that the Holy Spirit gives us. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Of course, Jesus is predicting the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And he says, to the disciples that when the Spirit of God comes to dwell within them permanently, there's going to be an effect. And what is the effect? He says, but you receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Both in Jerusalem and Judea, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here we find a promise, a testimony. He said that you're going to be a witness unto me. In Jerusalem, the place where they crucified Jesus Christ. And in all Judea and Samaria and unto the end of the world, earth. You're going to be a witness. Now the word for witness is the Greek word martyria. And you know what? Originally, it meant someone who gets on a witness stand and says, you know, this is what I saw. Or this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. They testify. They give witness of a fact. But when we see the word martyria, we think of the word martyr. Because the word martyr comes, is the exact same word. And it came to mean that those who would testify of Jesus Christ even unto death. Even unto death. What a tremendous contrast between Peter swearing, saying, I know the man, not the man. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know him at all. To Peter standing boldly and proclaiming Jesus Christ, not only publicly, but before the very council that condemned Jesus to death, and saying, even though you command us not to preach and teach in this name, we cannot but speak. There's nothing that we can do to stop but talking about Jesus Christ. He became a witness. He became a witness. Why was he a witness? Because of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Ye shall be strengthened. Ye shall, that ye might be strengthened in the inner man. There's a great truth of where the strength of the believer comes from. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm wondering today, where is the power of the Holy Spirit? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit? Did the Holy Spirit lose his power? Obviously, he didn't. Then why are believers today so very weak? Because of the lack of the power of the Holy Spirit. The possibility is there. But the absence in our lives is many times very obvious. the power of the Holy Spirit. That power is found in fellowship with the Lord. Let me ask you a question. How many sins does it take to cut off the power of the Holy Spirit? Ten? 20? Seven times 70? How many sins does it take to cut off the power of the Holy Spirit? The answer is one. We live in a day of light regard of sin. A light regard of sin. And that sin not only enslaves a person to its grasp, but that sin cuts us off from the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. If you've ever walked with the Lord, you know that's true. If you have ever walked with the Lord, you know all it takes is one sin. One sin left unconfessed to remain, to hinder the relationship, cuts off the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, you know what? We live in a day in which sin really isn't sin anymore. People don't talk about one sin that cuts off the power of the Holy Spirit. People talk about living with tons of sin. Tons of sin. I know that's exaggeration. But you know, people can watch hours and hours of TV. Hours of TV. They can have hours of being in the wrong place. They have hours of reading trash. Hours. And the question is, why are so many Christians defeated? Why are so many Christians weak? Why? Because we lost the power of the Holy Spirit. Why have we lost the power of the Holy Spirit? Because we have tolerated sin in our lives. We've tolerated sin in our lives. We've allowed it to stay. We haven't dealt with it. We need to recognize that the power of the Christian is in prayer. The strength of the believer is in the Word of God. The strength of the believer is not in himself, but it's in the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a man who came to Jesus, and he came at night. And I think there's a reason that he came at night. Do you know why? He was afraid. He was afraid of what other people would think. You see, he was in the power echelon, and it would have been very bad for him to be known to be a seeker of the truth. And so he secretly came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that man was by the name of Nicodemus. And Jesus said something to Nicodemus that was very profound. He said, Nicodemus, John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible never tells us what happened after that conversation. But you know what the Bible does tell us? The Bible tells us that when Jesus was hung on the cross, and almost all the disciples had denied the Lord, that Nicodemus went to wicked old Pilate and said, "Can I take his body? Can I bury him?" Here was a man who used to be afraid. But now here was a man who was fearless. He came to Pilate himself and boldly asked for the body of Jesus to bury him. He boldly, who was at one time afraid to be associated with Jesus Christ, now openly took his stand for Christ and the truth. What was the difference? What was the difference? He's born again. The Bible says the flesh is weak. You know, if you were saved as an adult, you probably can look back at all sorts of good intentions. All sorts of good intentions. Because you know, when the Lord starts working in your heart, you don't hate righteousness, you begin to love it. When the Holy Spirit starts convicting you of sin, He also starts convicting you of righteousness. And He starts showing you that right is right. But you know what? When you're unsaved, you find out how weak the flesh is. But you know, Nicodemus got born again. And the Spirit of God came into him when he was saved, like every believer, and he became a new man. He is converted. You know what? Peter denied the Lord. But you know, later on, Peter stood for the Lord. Peter at one time denied the Lord. And later on, Peter did die for the Lord. At one time, Peter was walking in his own strength. Later, Peter was walking in the strength of the Holy Spirit. I wonder today, could we be honest with ourselves? And can we say, you know what? I've been weak. I haven't been able to handle temptation. I haven't been able to witness for the Lord. I haven't been able to stand up for God. Maybe you say, boy, I'm just wholesale weak. I'm just going after sin. I wonder today, are you weak today? We live in a day of spiritual weakness. What's missing? Is prayer missing from your life? Did we ever time our prayer life? Isn't it amazing all the things that life is full of? But one of the things you could say it probably is almost universally not full of is prayer. Life is busy. Life is full. How much prayer is in our life? How much of the Word of God is in our life? You know, I can guarantee you, I don't know, I can guarantee you that if I go out on my day without reading the Bible, I can tell you one thing. I know that I'm going to be weak that day. I know that my spiritual life will not be what it needs to be because I cannot handle not being in God's Word any day. And I'm sure it's true for you too. God's Word. What about the Holy Spirit? Do we deal with sin? Or do we play with sin? Do we confess our sin? Or do we let it just sit in us and destroy us? God wants us to be living testimonies of a living Savior. He wants us to be strong. The devil wants us to be weak. The devil wants us defeated. God wants us to be victorious. Yes, it's a great battle. But in Christ, there is victory. Perhaps today the Lord is speaking to you about what you need in your life. And you know what? It's about as old can be when we say we need prayer, and it's about as old can be to say we need to be reading God's Word, and it's old and old as can be to say that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. But the fact is this, if you aren't reading the Bible, and you aren't praying, and you aren't conscious of the Holy Spirit and being right with God, you will be weak. And there's a simple formula for everyone. A simple formula. And wherever you are in this formula, perhaps you just need to say, you know what, I need to get back into God's Word. You know, I just read just this week a little saying, if you read the Bible 1 hour a day, you can finish it in 3 months. 1 hour a day, you can read the whole Bible through in 3 months. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Perhaps we need to do some readjusting. Perhaps you need to do the most important thing to start off with, and that is get born again. Turning to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, receiving the gift of eternal life because He paid for it on Calvary's cross. We'd like to encourage you, if you aren't saved, we'd be glad to show you from the Bible how you could know what the Bible says about how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for these simple truths. And yet, Lord, we know that the great battle of life is wrestling the most simple of things. And Lord, it will never happen unless we determine what we are going to do with life. What we want for the Savior. And Lord, so simple, yet we know it in many cases it is so difficult, for it is a battle for our soul and for what You want in our life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the Lord is speaking to your heart. Very simple truth today. But perhaps the Lord is just helping you be honest, and you need to refocus your life. And you've gotten so busy in life, you've lost time for reading God's Word. You lost time to really have a time of prayer. You really lost time, the thought of staying close to the Lord and not allowing sin to come in your life, or when it does, to confess it immediately and to stay close to the Lord. And these are just some simple things, but the Lord has spoken to your heart today, and you need to do something about it. Good intentions won't change a thing, but being a man of action does make a difference. And God is speaking to you today about being a man of action in these very simple things of life. And you say, God has spoken to me. I know what I need to do. I need to get reorganized in my spiritual life. And God has spoken my life. Anyone here today, just lift up your hand. That's indication of your decision before the Lord. Okay, number of different hands. Anyone else? God is speaking to you. Oh, it can be humbling just to deal with those simple things, can't it? But that's what it takes. Perhaps you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. And we'd like to invite you, even while you're sitting in that pew, to call on Jesus Christ to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be your Savior of your sin, and become the master of your heart. Only you can do it. We invite you to do that in the quietness of your own heart. Father, now bless your people. Many have simply heard what you need, want in their lives, and been willing to humble themselves and to just respond to you. I pray that, Lord, that this lesson is so important, would be learned and practiced, and that, Lord, our lives will be characterized by strength and victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.